Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios. Welcome to another episode of Georgia Business Radio. I am Ryan McPherson, your host. It's Friday, 11 a.m. Every week we feature business leaders in the state of Georgia from Atlanta to Savannah and back again. If you're doing business out there, we want to talk to you. Seated alongside me is my producer engineer today, Rich Casanova. How are you, sir?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Right? I mean, why not?
You're right. It's Friday. It's another great day.
You know, it's only 3 days till Monday. Oh, man, I'm excited.
Unbelievable is right. So it's been a good week, though, here at the Buckhead Business Radio X studios.
Oh, man. Yeah, we've had, mentioned just earlier before we went in there, we had Fran Tarkenton here in the studio. You just interviewed a celebrity business entrepreneur, right?
Bill Rancic, original winner of The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And he'll be in town next week promoting the QuickBooks Connect event. So it was a great interview.
That was a great conversation with him. And we didn't put him on the spot. We had to ask, right?
Yeah.
13 years he's been personally connected to Mr. Trump, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And he just announced his presidency. Not Bill, but Donald, yeah.
The Donald is going to be running for your president of these United States.
That's crazy good stuff. And we have a new show coming online in July. Just put a quick plug in for James Moss is launching.
Progressive Business Radio.
Yeah, so very excited about that. And then finally, just another quick plug. We did Food and Beverage Radio Wednesday. That was a first pilot official launch of that show. Mm-hmm. And then last night, we were at the
beautiful Buckhead Club doing some on-site reporting for the Over 40 Network event. And hopefully to be doing that more coming up, some on-site business radio, really interviewing folks in a real casual setting about what they're doing to serve their market.
And it kind of ties into on the recent episode of Franchise Business Radio, we had Mike Weir. He's a adjunct professor at Georgia State University, and they're launching not just the curriculum, but an actual college-level course on franchising. So in speaking of franchising, we have a couple of gentlemen here in the studio going to speak to that topic.
Yes, we certainly do. First, let me introduce Jim Squire. He is with the Southeast Franchise Foreman, and he's the chairman and CEO. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well. Thank you, Ryan, for inviting us here today.
Oh, my pleasure, and glad you could be back in the studio
back
again.
In the studio.
Returning guest.
Yeah, you were here before. And what will you be sharing with our listeners today?
I will just share with this particular group a little more about the Southeast Franchise Forum and how we are forum for franchisors and franchisees in the Southeast to network and be part of a business group.
How long have you been involved with it?
I've been involved since the early 80s, to be honest with you. It's been a bit of a great group over that period of time.
It must be if you're still working over there.
Yeah. Well, this is hopefully I retire this year, so I have I have my last year as chairman of the group.
Oh, very good. Well, we'll look forward to talk about that more in detail. We'll also introduce our other guest here today, Paul Macaluso. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and you're with Focus Brands and also representing the Southeast Franchise Forum, right?
That's correct. I've been with Focus Brands for almost 4 years now, and I've just recently been named the marketing chairman of the Southeast Franchise Forum. Been associated with that for just a few months now.
Now, Focus Brands is a big deal here in Atlanta, right?
Yes, we are a big deal. We're a big deal everywhere, but yeah, thank you for saying
that. But here in Atlanta, you guys are based out of Atlanta, right?
That's correct. We're based out of Atlanta. Five of our six brands are headquartered here in Atlanta, and a couple of our brands were founded here in Atlanta.
Nice. Atlanta's a great place for business, is it not?
It's amazing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We look forward to talking to you in more detail about that. But we'll turn our focus here for just a few more moments to Jim Squire. He's the chairman of the Southeast Franchise Forum. He's also the emeritus of the Georgia Restaurant Association, a member of Georgia State University School of Hospitality, Industry Advisory Board, and president of his Rotary Club. He was named Georgia Food Service Industry Leader of the Year in 1990 and an honored in 2003 as prestigious Georgia Hospitality and Travel Association Chairman's Award. In 2014, he was presented the IFA Educational Foundation's highest honor, the William Rosenberg Leadership Award. Well, congratulations on that. What does all that entail?
It just means I've been in franchising a long time, Ryan.
Okay. It sounds like it. And you have your own business also, right?
Well, actually, I'm with Firestorm.
Okay.
We do business continuity. We're a franchise that does business continuity planning and crisis management.
I see.
Our franchisees. So that's
so you're with Firestorm. That's a franchise itself.
It's a franchisor, correct.
Yeah, and then you also work with the Southeast Franchise Forum.
And the Franchise Forum is a not-for-profit business group, so I am a volunteer with the Southeast Franchise Forum, much as the folks that were here, Pam Macaluso, who is part of your franchise business radio group.
And leading that show.
Right, yep. Exactly.
So, all right, tell us a little more detail about the mission of the Southeast Franchise Forum.
Well, I'd direct everybody to our website, if I can put that plug in.
Yep, go ahead.
It's southeastfranchiseforum.com, or short, if you'd like, sefforum.com. And our mission is that we are a regional organization established to foster professional relationships throughout the franchise community and to enhance the reputation of franchising through the exchange of information, ideas, and solutions. And as you pointed out, Atlanta is a hotbed for not just business, but specifically for franchise businesses. And we have roughly 45 franchisors that are based in the metro Atlanta area that are members of our organization, as well as about a dozen franchisees, and then suppliers that service the franchise community. So that's basically what the Southeast Franchise Forum is all about.
Well, that's great. You know, Atlanta is a great place for business, and certainly if people are getting into franchise businesses, it's a good place to kind of cultivate that market. So whether you're a young person looking to get into a franchise, or you somebody who's getting out of the corporate world looking to go into a franchise yourself, any advice you would give them on how to get involved?
Well, I think that the first thing would be to go to the International Franchise Association's website, which is franchise.org. And it's a wonderful place with a great learning laboratory that's free for people to investigate the various aspects of franchising, et cetera. I would encourage people to look at what they have a passion for, not just what they perceive to be the hot franchise, because oftentimes people think that, oh, this is the one thing where I'm going to make the most money, and they'll get into something, and they don't realize that they really don't actually like being in that business. So it's a wonderful opportunity since there are roughly 85 or 90 different industries that franchise, virtually everything you can think about. I mean, when I started in franchising, it was more of the retail type businesses. You thought of food service operations and all. But now there are so many types of service groups. Ryan, in fact, you mentioned that you were a franchisee yourself at one time.
Yeah, I was going to say, so when I got out of the Army in 2010, I knew I wanted to go into business for myself. I was tired of being told what to do. I was ready to kind of go on my own. And I got involved with a franchise called Barkbusters, a home dog training business. The great thing about that was all I needed was my cell phone and a computer, and then I would travel to their location. I got some great training from their support group out there in Denver, Colorado, on how to train dog, but it really came down to how to train people. You know, the dogs always listen, the people don't. And so that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I had a great run for about 5 years. But ultimately, I came to the conclusion that this wasn't for me. It wasn't the franchise part. It wasn't the dog training part. It was just I kind of like being told what to do, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the military ingrained it so much. I like being part of a team. I like working together. So is that some of the questions you may ask or want to get down deeper before someone gets involved into franchising is, you know, what do they like personally and what are their goals?
Absolutely. And that's what is their passion? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's you've got to be – even if you're not going to run the business, I mean, there are many franchises where absentee ownership is permissible, but you've always got to recognize that you may have to step into the business at some point in time. So it should be something that you clearly enjoy.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that have been in corporate America and they've been part of that team that you talk about, but they've learned where they would like to start their own team, which they can typically do within a franchise type environment. So. But you have to really want to do that, want to really be, we say in franchising, in business for yourself, but not by yourself.
Right.
That's sort of the mantra that we have. So the franchisor, as I'm sure you'll relate, does provide a certain amount of team environment. But at the end of the day, you're ultimately responsible for the success of the business and the enjoyment of the business.
Yeah, no doubt about it. In the beginning, I thought it was just all about training dogs, but I had to also be my own accountant, my own market guy. You know, I had to be everything that the business entails. And that was a little overwhelming, too, because I don't really have much of a hard business background. Mm-hmm. But I did like the independence and really going out there. And home office did provide us with great support, and there was other trainers around the metro area that I could lean on. But that's something somebody should look at before going in the franchise world is, you know, what are you passionate about? And then, you know, what is your goals from owning this franchise?
And really to spend time talking to the franchisees of the brand, because we talk about the family of franchising. And each individual franchise group, franchisor, if, in fact, are like aunts and uncles, you know, and you can really, if you're talking to franchisees and they seem to be people that you relate to and you feel good about and you have a sort of a symbiotic relationship or what have you, that's probably a good fit. But, you know, if there's a disconnect there, if you say, well, you know, sometimes people get into franchising saying, well, I'm not going to be like them because I'm going to be like me, and I'm going to be the best franchisee that this brand has ever had. But ultimately, you have to fit within the culture of the franchise.
Right.
One of the things you mentioned earlier when you said you'd just come out of the service, I'd like to put a plug in for VetFran.
Okay.
Because right now, the International Franchise Association, and we support it through the Southeast Franchise Forum, it has a program called VetFran, and it, that's exactly what the website is, VetFran. But it's an initiative to assist the military, not only people that are leaving the service now, but even people that have left the service that are retirees or what have you, either become employed in a franchise business or become a franchise owner. It's not just limited to franchise ownership. So it's really recognizing that there are wonderful skill sets developed during a military career or even however long someone is in the military that's transferable into the private sector. And usually franchise companies like Firestorm, our company, and I'm sure, Paul, your brands as well,
absolutely,
offer a discount, usually something off of the franchise fee and really are very much pro-veteran involvement in franchise ownership and franchise employment. So.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons that I liked the opportunity I had. I had looked at a lot of different franchises to get involved with, and they were very veteran-friendly. They gave a discount on the franchise fees up front, and there were other veterans who had gone that same route that I called on and asked, you know, how do they like it? And really, they give you a manual of how to succeed. And you know, being in the military, we do a lot of studying manuals, and you just follow the roadmap, and you should succeed. Right. So that was one of the things I liked about it. So that's great. You said VetFran?
VetFran.
Yep. And so if any veterans out there listening, thinking about transitioning into a franchise, reach out through on that website, or you can also link through Southeast
Franchise Forum.
Yeah, very good. What are some of the challenges that franchising presents itself? More importantly, this day and age, can you speak on that for a minute?
Well, Paul, and certainly chime in as we go through this. I think the number one thing that we're concerned about today is overregulation of franchising. There's a very specific. The American franchising to me is the American dream, and it's an opportunity for people to get into business and be supported in the process. When you look at the success rate of franchises versus independent businesses, it's significantly greater when you've joined a proven business concept, you know. So that's the positive. But it also is a very open relationship. Everything is disclosed on the front end in terms of what the obligations of a franchisee are, what the franchisor is going to provide. It is already heavily regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. And yet now there seems to be, at the state level, an effort to add even more regulation into franchising through state-mandated regulatory requirements to almost guarantee the success of a franchise. And there are no guarantees in business. Huh. So, you know, we think that the odds are much better when you go into a franchise business. But certainly it's up to the efforts of the franchisee to be to be successful in the business.
Yeah, just to chime in on that, agree 100%. It's really one of the best opportunities today that we see the American dream continuing to be available for people. And folks that have that entrepreneurial spirit do extremely well in a franchise environment because of the tools that the franchisor is continuing to provide them and the resources. But at the end of the day, it is a small business. Mm-hmm. And so that's the issue that Jim speaks of is trying to link the franchisee to the franchisor's business, we think is a mistake. The franchisees are locally owned and operated. They have a real passion for their communities. They have a real understanding. They're creating jobs in the local community and really care for their teams. And that division between franchisee and franchisor needs to remain for the health of our industry to continue.
Yeah, that's good to know. And so just a little more formal introduction of Paul here. He has just been appointed to the marketing chair of the Southeast Franchise Forum, a regional organization that is established to foster professional relationships throughout the franchise community and to enhance the reputation of franchising through the exchange of information, ideas, and solutions. But Paul, your day job is with Focus Brands, and you recently kind of took over a position there. Tell us about that.
That's correct. I've been with Focus Brands for almost 4 years. In the previous 3.5, I was the chief marketing officer for Moe's Southwest Grill, which has been a lot of fun, and we can talk more about that later.
Welcome to Moe's.
Yeah, welcome to Moe's. It's an amazing brand. It's been a lot of fun to lead that brand and lead the marketing efforts.
Well, that's great. And also looking at the list here from the franchisors, the franchisees, is the suppliers who help out these franchisees. Can you speak a little bit about that, how they become members of the forum, and what they do and what the services they provide to these franchisees and franchisors?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is first and foremost a franchisor-franchisee organization. And we would like to encourage any franchisors. There's probably another 70 franchisors in the greater Atlanta area, Southeast, that aren't members of the Southeast Franchise Forum, and we'd encourage them to come go to our website.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be?
Well, you know, that's what we think, but we'd like to encourage them, as well as any franchisees that would like to be part of the organization. We do meet monthly, and all that information is on the website, and we're fully open. Membership for suppliers is limited, because we want really our suppliers who complement the activities that they bring to the table in working with the franchisors and franchisees.
Okay.
So we don't want too many suppliers in one particular category for the benefit of the supplier members that are in that category.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we look back to the International Franchise Association, and they have roughly 85 categories of suppliers. You know, everything from real estate companies to food service purveyors, obviously accountants, attorneys, of that sort. And so we'd like to have representation from those different categories rather than a bunch of representation from any given area.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, and we also don't want to have more suppliers that are members of the organization than franchisors and franchisees.
Absolutely.
Because, again, at the end of the day, it's really more about a networking relationship for the executives and members of the ZOR teams.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So people can do business with each other as a member of the Southeast Franchise Forum. They can make connections, build relationships, and ultimately help business succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned a couple times, Atlanta is a hotbed for franchisees and franchisors. What about the region in general, overall the Southeast? How is that growing?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you think about, again, the greater Atlanta area, when you look at Zaxby's, I mean, as a classic example, again, of the food service out of Athens, you know, one of the larger groups. You go up into Tennessee, Dave McDougal with Backyard Burger, who is on our board as well, out of Tennessee. So I think because of the accessibility here and the climate, et cetera, it just makes sense for Zoras to be headquartered here and be able to utilize the transportation hub and certainly the Hartsfield Airport and all to be able to travel out to the various brands domestically and internationally, because Paul, I think you can relate with your brands how the international market is growing as well.
Absolutely. With the Focus Brands, we operate over 1,500 restaurants internationally. Most of those are Auntie Anne's and Cinnabon currently, but we're working on developing all brands globally. And it, being based in Atlanta, it just makes that so much easier just from a logistical standpoint. We found a lot of success operating here in the Southeast. In fact, we are in the process of relocating Schlotzky's, which was founded in Austin, Texas, and has been based there since 1971 when it was founded. We are actually relocating them currently to Atlanta
All right.
as well.
Good for Atlanta.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, as marketing chair of the Southeast Franchise Forum, what are some of the operations that you bring in? Who are you marketing to? Is it getting some of those other franchisees and franchise or to join
exactly.
the organization?
Exactly.
And how do you reach out to them?
Right. Yeah. So opportunities like this that you provided us today just to speak about the services that we provide and our objective and our mission, I think are helpful. I've been on board a couple months now. So Jim and I, I'm going to get to leverage Jim in this last year of his chairmanship and really figure out the best way to continue to build on the great things that he's done and add value. But our objective is to get more franchisees and franchisors involved in the forum to continue to share ideas and also to build, I think an opportunity that I've initially see is an opportunity to really educate the broader consumer base, the broader people within the Southeast on the value that franchising brings,
right.
Because of some of those regulatory pressures that Jim mentioned earlier. Because I don't think a lot of people really understand or appreciate how many people are trained and developed through franchising with local franchisees, the opportunities that exist for people to advance that work for these different franchisees. Really, there's some skill sets that people can develop early on in their careers. I mean, all these things I just don't think we've really gotten credit for. And so that'll be one of the main objectives that I'll be working on over the coming years.
Boy, I'll tell you, Ryan, Paul hit on something that I think, I'd like you to elaborate on, Paul, because there's this misconception that if you're going to go to work, let's take food service as an example, but I mean, it could be any brand, whatever, but if you go to work, you're going to have to be that counter person forever, and you're only going to make, minimum wage or slightly more than minimum wage forever. But if you compare the time in the different positions to going through technical training or college or whatever, the actual time, let's say a four-year college would afford, where someone that starts in one of your brands at the counter level within 4 years, assuming that they're going to, as you would have to do in college, maintain certain performance levels and grades and things like that. But within 4 years,
absolutely.
You'd easily be a manager, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of our model is the people that are driven, that have a commitment, that are going to work hard are going to excel very quickly. That minimum wage, if in fact they start at minimum wage, is it going to last very long? Probably less than 6 months. And then they're going to be advanced. They're going to be taking on new responsibilities, moving to other parts of the business. Again, I'm speaking a lot from the restaurant industry because all of my experience is restaurant, but from general franchising, you might start at the register. You might then start picking up shifts, being cross-trained through different parts of the restaurant, then potentially moving into an assistant manager level position. A lot of our franchisees who operate multiple restaurants and they're opening new stores, they get a chance to potentially become a manager of that new restaurant, district manager position. So we, some of the brands we operate, I know some of the salaries there. And so franchisees pay their managers, over $40,000, $50,000 a year. That's something that can be acquired by someone who has had no college experience just based on their hard work and their ability to continue to prosper within that organization.
That's great. So if someone is listening and they're thinking about getting into a job that's just, like you said, starting out at maybe minimum wage or perhaps not the most glamorous position, but if you work hard and do your work and show up, you can move up the corporate ladder there into a higher profile position. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the fact that if you go to school, unless you've got the Hope Scholarship or some other scholarship, you're not going to be paid to go to school.
No.
You're going to be paying to go to school, And a lot of people aren't able to do that because they just don't have the resources to do that. Here you're actually being schooled in the business, whatever the business is that's a franchise, and being paid for that training, even though it's minimal pay initially perhaps, but at least it's something versus nothing. And the rise, as Paul said, can be very, very quick. And I've heard that sometimes you can hit the manager slot in 2 years. It doesn't even have to be 4 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, depending if somebody, you know, doesn't show up or kind of moves to another position, it just all be in the right place at the right time, doing the right work. You can find yourself, you know, in a position of growth within that franchise, or perhaps moving up into oversee many franchise locations. So that's great.
Yeah, as a takeoff on this, one of the people that you might want to invite is Aziz Hashim.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier about the position, the new course down at Georgia State University.
Yeah, Mike Weir.
Mike Weir, right. And that's part of the hospitality school down at Georgia State. And Aziz is a great example of someone who started at basically that level. I mean, he started as an employee in at a franchise brand, and has grown that now where he is a multi-concept owner based here, is in a position where his foundation give back, because he actually had to endow the position that they have down at Georgia State now, and he is going to be the incoming chairman of the International Franchise Association in a year.
Nice.
So he's a great example of that American dream. That, yeah. You know, Horatio Alger, when he was talking about what this country is all about, the great things about our country, how you can start, anybody can start, mm-hmm. and work their way up. And it can be to the manager level. It can be to the ownership level. It can be to, Roark Capital level, where, Roark is what? You got $3 billion or $4 billion now?
Yeah, north of that, I believe, now. Yes. And just another quick example, just even myself. So just a quick background. I started off 92 as a restaurant manager for Taco Bell. I worked my way through operations for 7 years, worked my way into marketing. And now, 23 years later, I'm running marketing for three different brands. So the opportunity is not only at the franchise level, at the store level, but also through the organizations, the franchisor organizations, are really limitless, because it's a growing industry. It's creating opportunities, and people that have a passion for it can continue to develop their careers.
Did you work at a Taco Bell here in Atlanta?
It was not. I was in Orlando.
I was going to say, you may have served me a quesadilla or something at the time. I just want to check there. Yeah, but I'd like to talk about Atlanta and being a technology hub, and how does that technology play into franchising and franchising support here today? Any thoughts on that?
Sure. I'll take a stab at it. I mean, technology is a big part of the restaurant industry. We're looking for ways to engage with customers and to make their experiences better. We're looking at everything that's either customer facing or mm-hmm. even facing just within the, just more inside the organization. So for example, we're working a lot with some of our vendor partners here on developing mobile loyalty programs, mobile payment programs, mm-hmm. things like that can help continue to grow the businesses and attract customers. And then within the organization, just how do we do everything from better technology to track food costs, to track labor, to help improve the profitability of franchisees? Those are all things that are continuing to evolve, and very advanced. The advancement of technology is really helping to continue to help franchisees make money, and that's what we're here for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, everybody's on their mobile device these days. Everybody wants information at their fingertips. So is there a Moe's app in the works anywhere?
We have one that exists for ordering ahead.
Nice.
We are working on one that's also going to encompass loyalty and guest rewards. So that's in progress.
Yep. You know, the kids want that stuff these days. They want to be able to, kind of track their progress and stay in touch with their favorite eateries. And what a great way to do that than
not just the kids.
Yeah, you're right. The grownups too, as well. And what about technology for the Southeast Franchise Forum, helping you guys more efficient or stay connected with your members? Any talk along those lines?
Yeah, we fortunately have a number of technology supplier members that are part of the Southeast Franchise Forum. One of them is a group called Kigo. And I'll give a plug for them, if you don't mind, very quickly, because mm-hmm. they maintain our website. They maintain all of our communications infrastructure, and they're very active within the franchise community in setting up dashboards, et cetera, to help the franchisors manage more efficiently the franchisees, and to create greater access of the franchisor by the franchisees. I mean, the wonderful thing today is you can literally, through the various communications devices that are available, get answers 24/7 is mm-hmm. the old cliche that they have. I remember when I started into franchising, you know, if you were outside of a business hour, you'd have to wait to the next business yeah. day or whatever, and you know, to try to get things accomplished. But now technology and from an operations standpoint, I mean, Paul, you can talk about some of the equipment that's being used today. Even some of the brands have robotics to a certain level that are involved in
yeah, absolutely.
In
the process. We're seeing a lot of kiosks for ordering. That's becoming a lot more popular. So you come in, you may not have to interact with a cashier. You can order through a kiosk, not only you know ahead of time, but when you get into the restaurant. That's one that we're seeing grow quite a bit. Also in the back of the house. So as food is being prepared and so forth, sophistication a lot with food safety. So just a lot of technology being used in the proper cleaning chemicals mm-hmm. to be used, making sure that all those are apportioned out correctly, and just maintaining the food quality, both in terms of you know the refrigeration and freezer systems and so forth. So lots of advancements there that a lot of people wouldn't see in the back of the house, but really helping to drive efficiency at the restaurant level.
Yeah, and Ryan, to talk about another great Atlanta brand, Coca-Cola.
Oh yeah.
In the food service business, I mean, if you've been into some of the restaurants now, where they have mixers now, where you can literally go in and you can have almost 100 different variations mm-hmm. of the Coke products with different syrups and add-ons and things like that, and it's really pretty cool because you punch this button, you punch that button, yeah, it dispenses yeah. exactly.
That's a great example. And so the Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, as Jim is referencing, it actually Moe's was one of the first brands to roll that out.
Nice.
System-wide. I've been a part of that, and it's been a lot of fun, but just a real dedication by the Coca-Cola company for innovation, a real focus on a big bet and a big win, mm-hmm. and we're seeing the customers really appreciating that, both in terms of the outlets that they're available, but also the overall brand of Coca-Cola.
But, you know, the one thing that you'll never lose is that welcome to Moe's.
Yes.
You're never going to get so brand so technology driven, because we do believe strongly in the franchise community that it's all about relationships to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to have that personal experience, as well as trying to make it as efficient as possible so that you can get through your order and you can get your ordering and get your order as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, for Moe's, it's about the welcome and the greeting and the engagement. McAllister's, it's really about the genuine hospitality. You know, just an amazing brand that really treats the customers with extra care. You know, Schlotzky's as well, just with the quirky and passion. But it's really at the end of the day, these brands are successful because the franchisees and the employees really genuinely care about the customers.
And if you want to take, and I know we're we got a little bit of time here.
Yeah,
so
we're good.
So talk a little bit, Paul, if you will, about another brand that we've talked about, Primrose, because you know. Technology affords now parents the ability to access their children, which is so precious mm-hmm. in terms of being able to communicate with the schools that they have there, being able to get any kind of issues resolved or whatever, or participate or actually see things virtually. I mean,
yeah.
I think Primrose does a good job.
Yeah, I think
of,
they do a great job. Another Rourke-owned company, another franchisor business model. And again, an opportunity to use technology to continue to evolve and create differentiation. So there in that case, you're able to have video capability to see what's happening with your child when you're not there. Obviously, follow up on their progress and lots of use of technology for that communication. So just really smart use of technology. Continue to make improvements for the consumers.
And the company that I'm involved with, Firestorm, would not be in business today, would not have started in 2005 had not technology advanced to the point where we could do the kinds of things that we do in terms of monitoring activities of our clients, et cetera, through the different type of technology backbones that we have and the dashboards that we can access. As an example, as we know, cybersecurity is so critical today, and you're seeing identity theft, et cetera, and that's precious for our various companies to make sure that the security there is as solid as possible. And we get deeply involved in putting cybersecurity programs together. In fact, there is franchise update marketing conference that Paul will be involved with next week, and our company as well. And our founder, Jim Satterfield, is doing a panel on cybersecurity and its impact and how to deal with cybersecurity within the franchise community.
Very good. Well, you know, restaurant experience, you can have the best chefs, you can have the highest, you know, priced food, but it really comes back to marketing and the experience you have while inside that, you know, that restaurant keeps you coming back again. And it sounds like you're doing the right thing over there at Focus Brands, but you're bringing that passion and that element to the Southeast Franchise Forum, and helping it grow and help the members, get involved. And so, you know, we encourage folks to, you know, go to the website, SoutheastFranchiseForum.com, you know, get involved, whether you're a franchisor, franchisee, you know, you can only help you grow your brand and your business by being a member over there. So any final thoughts that you want to give to our Rich, you got a question? You raise his hand politely over here. I'll let him go ahead.
Enjoying the conversation. Ryan, Rich Casanova, the producer engineer for Georgia Business Radio. Just remind our listeners, Georgia Business Radio is every Friday at 11 a.m. And we, you and as well as other folks here in the studio, we're interviewing thought leaders and industry leaders throughout the state of Georgia. And a great show here as well. I know we got some more time. I do have a couple of questions, but I have to aforementioned on these questions that I've been doing a lot of social media. I've been multitasking and got some great photos. It's already out on Twitter, on Facebook. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, but if it's already been addressed, just say next question, right?
Yeah. Gotcha.
Back to the, we had actually the Georgia Restaurant Association here several times. And recently they mentioned the food industry is the second largest employer and generates the most revenue for the entire state, only second to the agricultural business. So it's pretty astounding, right, that most people experience the restaurant experience. But, I mean, if you heard those numbers, would you
concur? No, absolutely. Right? As you mentioned earlier, I'm chairman emeritus of the Georgia Restaurant Association, and we're very proud of that. And we're also very proud of the relationship that the Georgia Restaurant Association has with Commissioner of Agriculture, Gary Black. They work very, very close together with the Georgia Grown program so that, you know, served in the restaurants or Georgia grown products, et cetera. And when you mention food service, it's all types of food service, not just the restaurant style, but also all food service in hotels, all the catering businesses that are there. And one of the unique things that you see today are the food trucks.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what an amazing phenomenon right, today that you see. Does Moe's have a food truck?
We have some. We have a few more in the works, so... Yeah,
on any given night of the week, there's a food trucks parked at some location around the city where you can go and just, you know, eat your heart out with all the good stuff served on the food trucks.
And actually, technology enabled that to occur.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they can announce it on social media and all of a sudden, right, instant crowd. Back to the Southeast Franchise Forum. How many members do y'all currently have?
We currently have 85 members.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And is there a goal to grow that to a certain point, or
no? We it's really not that. I mean, okay. we again would like to encourage all franchisors to come in. Where we really are a benefit is, as Ryan can see from the list that I gave him. I mean, we have these large multi-branded concepts,
right,
companies like Focus Brands, or we have Intercontinental Hotels and all of their brands, et cetera. But we also have startup companies.
Oh, really?
And we'd really encourage anyone out there that may be contemplating taking a successful business that they have and moving it into the franchise model to contact us through our website. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to have them come to one of our meetings, because we certainly, you'll find that, like Paul said, you'll find our people are very willing to give back. I mean, that's the wonderful, the dynamic in franchising is you'll have competitors that will come. You know, Paul will be there with the Zaxby's people, the Chick-fil-A people, right, or whatever, and they're all just sharing ideas, et cetera.
That leads to my next question. What does membership look like in terms of cost or criteria, or who's your ideal, you know, member, or how do they go about applying? What's the process, I guess?
Yeah, the ideal member is any franchisor, or again, franchisees are welcome. Typically, we find that individual franchisees are so focused on their individual businesses,
right,
that the multi-unit franchisee is really more into our sweet spot.
Okay.
But we're the most affordable thing. There is no fee to join the Southeast Franchise Forum, but there is a cost that's related to the fact that we have monthly meetings that are food meetings. We have breakfasts 8 months out of the year, and we have luncheons 4 months out of the year. And so for a franchisor to join, it's $250
right.
For the year.
Wow.
And for that, he can bring up to four people to the Southeast franchise.
Well, Ryan, we're always available for a breakfast or lunch or whatever. Yeah,
no doubt about it. Yeah,
and we encourage the media to come. So
okay.
We'd love to have you go and look at one of the upcoming meetings and come.
We might talk about doing that because, like I said, we were at the Buckhead Club last night for the Atlanta Over 40 event.
OnsiteBusinessRadio.com.
That's our new
From
offering.
From the Southeast Franchise Forum.
Hey, yeah, live, exactly. Awesome. Yeah,
yeah. That would be great.
Quick question for Paul. You mentioned Taco Bell. That was one of my first jobs as well. My task assignment was called Drill the Beans. We had a drill we used to back there and stir up the beans or whatever, right? But on a kind of more serious note, how is it working with Kat Cole over there?
Kat's
I mean, she's a dynamo, right?
She's just an amazing leader. She's just brings so much energy and passion and new thinking all the time. She's moved recently into a new position as well.
I
she's
heard.
The president of Cinnabon and moved into the president of our channels group. So basically her, in summary, her new role is to take each of our brands and move it outside of just the traditional restaurant space. So what she's been able to do with Cinnabon and move Cinnabon into consumer packaged goods and licensing it into other brands, she's now in charge of that for all six of the brands.
Wow.
So just a very dynamic and super smart person, a great leader, and a lot of fun to work with. And you know, as one of the senior leaders in my organization, just someone that I have a lot of confidence in that's going to help us continue to grow for a long time.
Yeah, no question.
And a classic story, you know, of how she started in a Hooters.
Yeah, I know. Right?
As just one of the crew members and has worked her way up to be an executive with Hooters and then subsequently president. And clearly recognized, she's a past chairman of the Georgia Restaurant Association. And clearly recognized in the industry wide as one of the icons of women in food service.
And she was on the reality show
Undercover Boss.
Undercover Boss.
Yes, she sure was. As the president of Moe's, who's now the president of the restaurant group, Paul D'Amico.
Oh, yeah.
My former boss was on as well. Another great opportunity to really see inside the operations of a franchise and see what happens with the franchisee, the franchisor, as well as the restaurant level employees. Just some amazing people working super hard to make it happen every day. It was a great experience.
And one last question for the Southeast Franchise Forum. You all may have mentioned this as well, but again, I was doing social media and trying to listen in one ear. But how many states does that represent? If it's the Southeast, obviously the heart is here in Atlanta, but does it reach into neighboring states? Or
yeah, we talked about we have a Backyard Burger from Tennessee that's part of this. We've had on and off, we've had representation in the adjacent states.
Right.
You know, we sought to take a little bit of licensing.
It sounds bigger, grander.
It's like the International Franchise Association. I mean, really, it is only the United States because there are other countries that have their own franchise associations. But because franchising started in this country, really, the dynamic of franchising started here, hence the International Franchise Association. And we just claim the Southeast because there's no one else that has one of these type of events in the Southeast that we have.
Excellent stuff. And so as we begin to wrap up here, we'll ask Paul, you know, share with us kind of what's on the horizon for Focus Brands. Any new big things coming out this summer or later on the year? What's on our radar?
So a couple of things I'll mention. One is the move and transition of some of our brands to Atlanta. So that's a big move. We have a new office off Glen Ridge that we're moving into by the end of the year. So that's super exciting. Everyone that works for the company is very excited about that move. And then just in general, I would say, again, as I mentioned about with Kat Cole's new role, we are moving from a model of where we're just focusing on opening restaurants in the domestic U.S. to international locations as well as multi-channel locations. So Focus Brand's objective is to be a leader in multi-channel global brand developer. And so that's a lot of fun to be a part of.
That's great. And anything from your perspective as you bring those marketing chair to the Southeast Franchise Forum going forward in this year, what do you see on the horizon?
Just continuing to increase the collaboration among franchisees and franchisors across industries. And also, again, to continue to educate the value of franchising to the broader community.
Well, very good. Thank you for joining us in here today, Paul. We wish you much success in both of your roles over there, and hope to see you back on the radio real soon. And Jim, what about you for the Southeast Franchise Forum coming up later this year? What are some of your goals or highlights you're looking forward to?
Well, I think the good news, Ryan, is we're on track, basically, to do exactly what we've proposed to do, and that's we've had great attendance at our monthly meetings, and we have some exceptional programs coming up. We actually are focused on marketing again. One of our supplier members, Fish Communications, who actually does a lot of work for Ryan and his brands, for Paul and his brands, is coming in, and they're doing a whole shtick on various aspects of marketing at the July meeting. It'll be very exciting.
I'll put a plug in for Donna Josephson. So the head of marketing for McAllister's, who's one of my peers, will be participating with Fish in that presentation as well.
And what we try to do, obviously, is anytime we do have a discussion that involves a supplier, we do bring in participation by a franchise company, so that it again it gives that same appearance. And you certainly would be invited. We'll be over here at Maggiano's Buckhead for lunch.
Sounds good on the calendar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you might want to
block that out. We have to cancel whatever show is going on that
we'll
day.
Shut down the studio for the day.
Yeah,
very good. Well, thank you, Jim, for joining us again in the studio. We hope to see you back here soon.
Thank
Wish
you
Ryan. Much success with the Southeast Franchise Forum and all of the hats that you wear on your list there. So. And thank you, Rich Casanova, for producing and engineering another excellent episode of Georgia Business Radio. You can tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. to hear us live, or go check out the podcast at buckheadbusinessradiox.com. If your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page at the website at buckheadbusinessradiox.com. On behalf, again, of the entire Business Radio X family, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.